Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network.
Spins by the feet. He's to the 10, the 5, touchdown! Oh, what a tackle!
Evans up the middle to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Eastern Michigan!
Straight from the 734, it's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by The Foaling Warehouse, your weekly chance to get in on the action. Now, let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all, Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
It might be President's Day today, but a guy that never takes a day off and might be up for Dad of the Year, Tom Helmer. How about him taking his daughter to North Carolina to see her favorite band and getting backstage access? Congratulations, Tom.
Thank you.
Dad of the Year.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, it wasn't costly at all or time consuming to go down there. But yeah, we went to... There's a band called The Brook and the Bluff. They're out of Birmingham, Alabama. I first saw them a couple of years ago. They opened for a singer named Ash in Detroit, which is a concert I took my daughter and her best friend to. And I'm like, these guys are actually good. They got kind of a Dave Matthews vibe a little bit or something. I mean, their music, they sound great live. And I was like, all right, they're all right. And then they came to Detroit again, and I took my daughter down there for that show, but my wife was able to kind of get in contact with their band manager, and we ended up meeting the band before the show, and they played a couple of Abby's favorite songs. We're like, great. Well, Abby was a little down a couple of weeks ago, and it was just before she started a new job, and I said, what if I took you to North Carolina for the opening of the second leg of the tour for the Brook and the Bluff down in Asheville, North Carolina? She's like, yes. So Thursday, we jumped a plane, landed in Asheville at 6 o'clock. By 7 o'clock, we were at the venue, which had great pizza, phenomenal pizza. It's a bar called the Orange Peel. Have you been to Asheville?
I've driven through it.
I don't know. I don't even know what I did qualified as driving through it. I know I was in a part of Asheville. It's beautiful when you fly in.
Absolutely. You're right in the mountains, everything else.
Are those the Blue Ridge or the Smokies? What are those?
Yeah, Blue Ridge Mountains, part of the Smokies, yeah.
That's what John Denver was singing about a little bit, wasn't he?
Yeah, a little bit. He was talking about West Virginia a little bit too.
Yeah, he was. You're right.
Not North Carolina. At least that's how the song goes.
But we got there and then met a guy that we'd been emailing that was running this tour. And then he's like, hey, you want to go back and hang out with the band? We're like, sure. So we went backstage and they remembered Abby. So they're like, Abby. And she started listening like, are you going to play Prove Me Wrong? They're like, yeah, we're going to play it for the first time live. And are you going to play this song Rush? Like, yeah, we're going to play that. And then she was like all fired up. And so they gave her VIP seating right next to the stage. And she stood the whole show. And when the show was over, we went to the hotel. We got up first thing in the morning. We had a 39-minute connection at Charlotte Airport. And if you're flying the little planes out of Asheville, they park way out in no man's land. So we were hustling. We got to the gate about 4 minutes before the door shut. And as I got on the plane, I noticed the front of the plane, like where we were on an air like American, and they had some extra legroom seats in the front that nobody was sitting in. And of course, I bought tickets way in the back where we were jammed in like sardines. And so I figured this is my free dessert moment, right? There's no dessert on the flight. Let's shoot our shot for a free upgrade. And I said, oh, I did get an email about that you could upgrade seats, and I was in such a hurry, I didn't do it. And they go, well, you're supposed to do upgrades with the gate agent. And I said, oh, well, you know, that's fine. Hey, I'll sit in the back. I don't mind. I wish I could have done it. I'll know better for next time. Little sob story. So Abby and I go wedge back in our seats in the back, and she's going to take her backpack and put it under the seat. And I go, just hold on for a second. And not 2 minutes later, the flight attendant goes, man, she goes, come with me. And then she walked us up, gave us both aisle seats on pretty much empty rows, and we could spread out and had plenty of leg room. I'm like,
It's like they were going to come back and tell you it's like some of our football trips where they're like, no, there's so much weight in the back already. You got to stay there because otherwise the plane tips up. But okay, that works.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that was some of that too. I'm not a skinny guy. So we got a little leg room. We got back and landed at the gate. Right next to Chick-fil-A, where you're in the frequent Cluckers Club, and we grabbed a couple sandwiches and headed out the door. So
you had a strong week. Abby will never forget that trip with her dad, and an awesome opportunity that you got to do that. And then you got to turn around and call some exciting basketball too. So it was a great week for you.
It was a great win for the men against Bowling Green, a chance to redeem themselves after they opened the season January 2nd down in Ohio and got upended in overtime in a game in which Eastern shot 14 free throws in that first meeting, and they shot 38. Now, if you'll notice, it was much more even this time around, and that was the difference. And Eastern Michigan did it without Orlando Lovejoy. He had a collision in that Louisiana Monroe game. They put him through the concussion protocol. And you probably know more about the protocol than I do, but it's like you got to feel good, and then you got to be able to practice a little bit. You got to go through all these stages.
Yeah, you got to go through a progression to be able to show that you can return to normal activities and not have either problems with getting sick as you work out or have headaches. All those things can set you back. There's no rhyme or reason on how the body sometimes lets you progress through. But yeah, those are very much regimented and they follow them to a T. So yeah, he was out. But again, as you look at it, they've had a short bench for a little while and they've made it work.
But the guard situation is the problematic thing for him, because the short bench is really all that guard spot. We don't have Lovejoy. You don't have McGriff. Rice has got a red shirt year. You really don't have a lot of options. So they used a lot of Micah Schneiders. You had Arna Osonjic in there. You used some Connor Servin to go big in the lineup a little bit. So you had to do all this. And I joked with Stan before the game. I go, clearly Acuff's going to play another 40 minutes. He's like, yeah. He goes, that was going to be the case anyway. Like, we're just on this 40-minute a game train with Acuff now. And I said, it's got to be hard. Like, you can't pull him out of the game. He's your guy. And he says he does, you know, sometimes he'll take a possession or two off defensively. He goes, I'm not even mad about it. Like, Tyson knows when to pick his spots and make himself as strong as he can for 40 minutes. And it worked out against Bowling Green. So that was a huge win. And as you mentioned, now it's off to Buffalo, the team you already beat. You got a chance for a little momentum. Every time I want to look at the standings and think they're done, they're not. They're still in it. They still have a chance there. Right now, they play some teams in front of them that they got to hop.
Yeah, right now tied for 10th. They're going to have to pick up some wins that are going to be upset. So there's no doubt about that. But you look at Acuff now, the named MAC Player of the Week for the second time this year. But a oddity, the last time Eastern Michigan won in Buffalo, 2004.
Oh, well, it's a tough road trip. It's one of those, and it's just like going to NIU. It's really, you're on the outliers of the MAC regional book there. And they've had some good teams. Now, this is not one of them. It's a team that's won two games all year. So I don't know how committed this team still is as you head into the final six games. And I'm talking about Buffalo. If you're obviously going nowhere, you're dead last in the MAC. I don't know how amped up you are to ruin someone else's season. So it feels like if you could start this game the same way you did Bowling Green, you're up 22-9. I think pretty quick Buffalo would be like, all right, let's just play some playground basketball and take our L and move on and hope this season ends sooner than later.
So the men this week are at Buffalo, and then they'll be at Ball State coming up on Saturday. Women's basketball on Wednesday. They're in Kalamazoo to take on a pesky Bronco ball club that got them the first time around. And then they travel to Oxford, Ohio on Saturday to take on a Miami club that's similar to them, just trying to find their way. So an opportunity, as you mentioned, both clubs have a chance to pick up two wins this week. And then you saw baseball. They picked up a win in really a convincing fashion of with 16 runs they scored against Belmont, gives Robbie Britt his first career Eastern Michigan win. So congratulations to him. But they dropped the series overall. This week they're in Southern Indiana, which is on the farthest tip that you can find on the Hoosier State. So that's not a small trip to get to.
No, and hopefully it'll be, you know, some warmth down there for them. Yeah, as I looked at those Belmont scores, I thought, you lost two games by one run. You lost one by two and then throttled them in a game by 10. So it's a good start, really.
Good start. And pitching, I know, was something that they've been concerned about. You found some guys to step up. But when you're bringing in 19 new people, you just didn't know what you were going to get in that first weekend.
Yeah. And you're playing in some warmer weather. You're outside. There's an adjustment period in the beginning of the season. And you're playing a ton on the road. They're not home till mid to late March when Michigan comes in to play them at Osterlake Stadium. So you're gonna have to be a road warrior here in the early part of the season.
Then Eastern Michigan lacrosse, they're in the nation's capital this weekend. Sunday, they'll be taking on Howard. And then back at home, we also have the MAC Indoor Track and Field Championships this weekend at Bowen Fieldhouse. So that'll be an adventure in its own right as Eastern Michigan tries to add to its MAC leading count, 157 MAC championships, and trying to add more on the distinguished track side. This week, Tom, we get some special guests. We go golf heavy this week as we think about being outside. We got to sit down with 32nd year men's head golf coach Bruce Cunningham. Crazy to think 32nd year because the guy has been an Eastern Michigan legend and now has a building named in his honor.
How fantastic. And we love talking with him. In fact, we taped an interview, and then we probably spent almost another hour talking with him about golf. He had a great Jack Nicklaus story. And we finally found somebody who's been at Eastern Michigan longer than you. So that in itself is a headline right there.
Yeah, I was going to say, anytime you can beat me on the longest tenured number, he's doing okay. So a long-ranging conversation, as Tom mentioned. But one of the things that I think is interesting is Bruce's conversation just about how the game has changed. Because again, when you were a student athlete, it was just kind of golf was something you didn't weight lift, didn't train for. You just kind of played. Yeah. And now they're such specialized student athletes.
They are specialized. And some of these players have swing coaches and some of them have nutritionists. And you see a lot more. And I don't think it's good. A lot of young athletes, I'm talking maybe pre-high school, are getting locked into one sport and trying to be an expert at that sport. When in reality, you should be playing a variety of sports that help develop the whole body. And, you know, playing basketball can still make you a better football player, or being a football player can make you a better baseball player. There's different things that go hand in hand that help you develop. But yeah, the equipment's changed. There's an adjustment to coming to the college level and playing longer distance courses. There's a lot that goes into it. And you really don't think about it. You're like, oh, golf. I look at it and I'm like, look at the schedule. You're going to play at Pinehurst. Look at all these warm locations. I should have picked up a club when I was younger.
And then our second guest is someone who picked up a club when we were younger. And that's Riley Kim from Women's Golf. She was a late bloomer that didn't pop onto the golf radar until her junior senior campaign, and Stephanie Jennings saw her at the AJA junior tournament out in Vegas, or maybe it was California, one of the two, and all of a sudden she finds herself here in Ypsilanti. So a interesting story on that happening.
It's always fascinating when an athlete picks up a sport late in high school and then they end up playing Division I in that sport. Like, they just have that athletic mindset, or they're just so good at what they do. You know, I could have picked up stuff 10 years before college. There was no way I was going to be D1 in anything.
Well, you saw those guys just the other day. They signed the first ever college scholarships to go play cornhole. So maybe I still got a chance. I mean, you caught me in the act of playing video games there in the hallway at Retro Arcade Day. Maybe we still both have a chance, because at Burger Time, I was crushing it in.
You were crushing it. The fact you use the term "I caught you" does let me know you were slacking on your duties at the arena that day. But you made it on the leaderboard at Burger Time. I have not seen that game since the 80s, maybe early 90s. Like, I forgot that game existed till I saw you playing it.
Is that kind of how In-N-Out got its start? They saw this burger time game and said, we could do that too?
Yeah, let's start slinging burgers. Yeah, I think that's, at least that's how the movie will say it was.
Walk around throwing pepper because that's how you freeze people.
See, I didn't even remember the pepper part like that. I just knew you could like drop a topping down on the, what's chasing you, a chili pepper and an egg?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and then you could drop them to
and then squish them, yeah.
Yeah, this is where the discussion's gone. We're talking about Burger Time and dropping condiments on burgers.
I was much better at Burger Time than I was Donkey Kong because, again, for whatever reason, I couldn't jump over those rolling barrels to save my life. But
you just
again,
kept timing it wrong.
Yeah, I had no timing, no rhythm, much like the dance floor.
Is it Galaga or Galaxaga?
I was told Galaga.
All right. That would get away from me, too. And the one Space Invaders where they keep coming down.
It's been a good show. I mean, it's at least it's more entertaining than the NBA All-Star game was yesterday.
Yeah, it's the worst All-Star game in sports, I think, because and hockey's not far behind it. They play that 3-on-3. The dunk contest, I think, has been a no-go for a while. What, you have a guy that plays like G League that won it?
There's only so many ways to dunk a basketball. There's so many ways to eat a Reese's Pieces. You don't need to watch either one of them.
This is what I would do if I were changing the dunk contest. Who can dunk the highest? The backboard keeps moving up. Like, can somebody throw down at 11.5 or something, you know? Or you do it based on their reach and vertical, like, who's got the biggest vertical that can dunk type of thing. That would probably be more fast. Because I've heard stories about guys that could like set a nickel on a backboard or something like that. All right, well, how high can you throw down? It would at least give it a different aspect, but it's like where the NFL Pro Bowl went when it became unwatchable and everybody was leaning on each other and fake tackling. And it's not good entertainment. Baseball is still the best All-Star game.
Purest as they can be. Tom, we'll listen to you a couple times on the radio. You and I will join together tomorrow for Men at Buffalo on WEMU. Thanks for your time, as always. Plenty of golf in store. And then we look forward to catching back up next week when we'll talk maybe Eastern punching its ticket ever closer to Cleveland.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right care that works for you? Care that connects you to what you need anytime, anywhere, and fits best with your lifestyle? Whether it's in person or in your pajamas, online or over the phone, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan connects you to the care you need when you need it most. With the largest network of doctors and hospitals, an easy-to-use mobile app, and a 24-hour nurse line. Because we're always ready to help. Learn more about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at bcbsm.com.
It's here.
Bowling Warehouse.
And sports will never be the same. Bowling combines the best of bowling and football. But you don't have to be good at either to have a great time at the Foling Warehouse. Ipsy Ann Arbor's newest place to play is now open. 20 lanes, 2 bars, over 100 beers. The Foling Warehouse at the corner of Washtenaw Golfside in Ypsilanti, where everyone comes to play.
There's only one place in the state of Michigan that takes you straight inside the locker room. And that's the Eastern Insider Podcast, your chance to get in on the action, bringing you more coverage than any other program in the Mitten.
Trials and tribulations of being a freshman golfer. She excelled in the fall and will hope for a big spring. Riley Kim joins us. What's it like to have spent a winter in Michigan? Granted, you're not out of the woods yet, but a little different than what you experienced in Virginia.
Definitely different. I don't think I've ever seen this much snow in my life. I mean, there was maybe one year where we got a decent amount of snow, but that was about 10 years ago. So it's definitely different waking up every day and seeing a bit of snow and having to wipe off my car every morning and all that. But
have you developed a routine like you go out and brush it off first, or what's kind of the go-to?
Luckily, I just got a new car, so I can start it on my phone. Ooh, and then so it'll defrost and everything, which is I'm very grateful for. But I keep forgetting to like lift my windshield wipers up. So it's like, oh man, I have to like wipe it all off and then like make the windshield wiper go. So I'm still learning.
That's where you got to find an apartment that has a carport, so definitely. You don't have to worry about that.
But yeah, I'm still learning about how to, you know, handle snow and ice and just the cold, I guess.
What's the transition like been for you to come from Virginia as a freshman? Granted, you were playing all around the country in the junior amateur, but it's different when you're playing in college now.
Definitely. I think the transition honestly went as smooth as it could have gone, which I'm very grateful for. Coach made it great. She made it very easy, and I felt very close to the team pretty much instantly. I would have to attribute, you know, how, like, the transition to just my family. My sister was a Division III athlete, and, you know, she kind of explained, you know, all the things that go inside college athletics and just being a student athlete. And my dad, he always told it to me straight that it's going to be hard and you're going to have to find time to do everything you need to do. And time management is important, is probably the most important thing. So I would say I just had a really good support team around me that made it easy transition. And, you know, all the older girls on the team made it easy. And it helps that in the summer I was playing well. So that kind of just, that momentum built into the season, which I'm grateful for. And yeah, looking forward to a new spring season.
When you look at the game of golf, some people start early, some people start late. When did you get playing?
Late. I started late. I started end of eighth grade into ninth grade. You know, I've really only had about 5 years of experience now, whereas I know a lot of people have 10 years, 12, et cetera. Right. A lot of years of experience. So I started late, but I worked hard to get here. And, you know, I'm grateful for every opportunity I've ever had.
What got you going? Like, for me, it was, stupidly, my dad loves golf. I was like, I'm not going to do that because he did it. And then now I look back, like, I could have been doing that a whole lot sooner and probably been a lot better than I am. What was it that first, like, okay, we're going to get going into it?
Well, I played basketball for most of my life. My sister played college basketball. She played basketball all her life, so I followed in her footsteps. But it was never really my sport. Okay. I never really felt as connected to it as she had. And so, funnily enough, like, one of my really close family friends, my dad's really close friend, he always played golf, and he was like, he just wanted me to go out there one time. So I went out with him, and I did all right. You know, I wasn't great by any means, but I hit the ball enough where they were like, okay, maybe you have some talent. And so quit basketball, started golf, and now here I am.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's worked out for you. You hold your high school's record for lowest 9-hole average as well as 18-hole average, and lots of other records dumped in there. What was your most proud moment in your high school career?
Ooh, most proud moment. Winning our regional tournament was pretty big for me. I had just come off a pretty tough summer, and, you know, I was going back into the high school season where I had a good team, good coach, and so I was just playing well, did all right in districts, and was able to play at a course for the regional tournament that I really enjoy. And so I ended up winning it and then went on to states and finished fifth. So that's a pretty big achievement for me. And yeah, I mean, it kind of set the way for the rest of my kind of senior year.
Here with Riley Kim, Eastern Michigan women's golf. How do you get noticed by coach? What was that first interaction like? And how'd you make sure that she was like, Eastern is a place that I could see myself coming to?
It was December of 2022, I was just finished off my senior season with high school, and I had an AJGA event out in Las Vegas, the senior showcase. Played well on the first day. I think I like halfway through the second round. I was leading the tournament, had a couple blow-up holes, but I guess that was enough for coach to want to take a look at me. And I remember, like, I was going up the 18th hole, and I saw her walking with my parents, like, who is this? But they had a good chat along that 18th hole, 17th hole. And then afterwards, she came up to me and said, from Eastern Michigan. And we had a good chat. And then we kind of kept communication for the rest of the month. And then came to visit in January. Here I am.
I'm going to say, is it an easy decision? Is it something that weighed a lot on you? How does that, having never had to pick in that aspect, what's that like?
It might have been the easiest decision of my life. Very easy. I love how coach just was very honest and straightforward with her program desires. And, you know, she resonated well with my family. And, you know, it's a D1 offer. You know, it's hard to say no to a D1 offer, especially after starting so late. I didn't have many offers.
And to get put in the lineup early also says something about your ability to adjust.
Yeah, definitely. But like I said earlier, like, I just had a really seamless transition, and I was playing well, and I felt confident in my game. And obviously, I'm grateful for coach to kind of have that same confidence in me, and I guess it proved well.
What do you look back at this fall and now hope to really improve on this spring?
Definitely just scoring in general. We had a chat yesterday and talking about, you know, I really have to believe that I can shoot the low numbers that I know I'm capable of, and then you'll get it. It's kind of one of those mental blocks that I've had for a while where, you know, you have to believe that you're going to score low in order to do it. So it's kind of that, and obviously cleaning up some little things, some mechanics and that stuff. But I think, you know, when I'm playing my best, there's no reason why I can't shoot under par.
As much as golf is a game of, you mentioned repetitions, mechanics, it's so mental. How do you go about making sure your mental game is really strong?
I think I just carry a very, I guess, easygoing mentality into it. I'm never too hard on myself. And when I do catch myself being hard on myself, that's when I'm playing my worst. So it's kind of realizing that, you know, take everything one shot at a time. Another thing that me and Coach were talking about yesterday, and just staying in the moment, really. Realizing that one bad shot out of 72 or 54 holes won't make or break, you know, my entire tournament. And so it's keeping that in the back of my mind and also just trusting the process, which is something that's the saying that I really resonate with, you know, believing that the way you're going is correct. And yeah, also having faith, which is something I've recently started exploring, you know, faith in the Lord that He has, you know, the right plan for me.
It was the right plan to come to Eastern Michigan. It was the right plan that Eastern Michigan also happened to be opening a brand new training facility.
Right.
What was it about that first experience walking in there and seeing this is our real home now?
Yeah, it was definitely just a spectacular experience, you know, knowing that for the next 4 years, this is where I'll be practicing pretty much daily is, you know, it really sits well with me, and it's promising, especially for, you know, new incoming classes, that this is what they're going to have to look forward to. And I think that ultimately helps in just the success of the team going forward.
What do you think is the biggest thing that you're going to use that for? Is it the study space? Is it the hanging out with teammates? Or is it really bearing down and being on that practice putting green?
I think that really is it. Just being able to put in the work all the time. Because, you know, we're in Michigan, it's cold. You don't get, especially for like short game and putting and that stuff, you don't really get an opportunity to do that very much. So I think just having a practice green, putting, chipping, that is huge.
I actually think we met in the classroom before we met about student-athlete-wise. You're a sports management major,
correct.
Something that interests you. What is kind of the current goal and plan that you seem to want to go to? I know things change, but what's the plan right now?
I want to play professionally post-college. You know, I really just want to give my shot at playing professionally and, you know, seeing how far I can go and how much, I guess, I can do moving forward. But if that doesn't pan out, something with my sport management degree, just staying in golf, whether that's teaching or marketing or something like that.
You seem to pepper me with a lot of social media questions too, if I remember right. So maybe something in there too.
I think so. I remember meeting you. I just don't remember all the questions I asked you. But yeah, I was definitely sort of just, I take an interest in social media, but ultimately it's golf is my main goal.
No one from Eastern Michigan has ever made the NCAA tournament as an individual. How awesome would it be for you or one of your teammates to finally crack through that ceiling?
I mean, that'd be amazing. That's, I guess, the end goal, really. You know, playing in the NCAA tournament, winning it is, you know, a big goal of mine. But I don't think you can look that far in advance. You have to take it one day at a time, one tournament at a time. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, you know, maybe it's just not in the cards. But, you know, obviously you want to work towards that. But I'm not going to beat myself up over it if I don't make it.
Lots of room to grow and growth. And we'll look forward to watching your journey this spring, and hopefully leading Eastern Michigan to that first MAC tournament title.
Definitely.
Riley Kim, on this episode of the Eastern Insider, we carry on after this.
This episode of the Eastern Insider podcast is brought to you by National Trails Bus. Safety, comfort, reliability. Come ride with us, as well as Trinity Health. Trinity Health is the preferred healthcare provider of EMU Athletics. Get top-tiered orthopedic and spine care to get you back in the game, as well as Standard Printing and Design, the standard of excellence in design and print for small business.
You're listening to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by the Foaling Warehouse, the only show that brings you all things Eastern all the time. Now let's get back to the action with Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
One of the longest tenured head coaches in EMU history, Bruce Cunningham, joins us, head men's golf coach. Does it feel weird to hear longest tenured in EMU history after all these years?
Yeah, absolutely.
32 years goes quick.
It sure does. Now you get to some of these competitive competition sites and you start to realize you remember different players on different holes, and it becomes relevant really quick. You realize how long you've been at this.
Well, we know you've been in it a long time. Tell me the story of how you got here, how you became the golf coach at Eastern Michigan.
I was assistant at Oakland Hills for 6 years, and Tom Pendleberry, who's the he was the director of golf and general manager at Eagle Crest, and Roy Wilbanks, they had knew a couple people at Oakland Hills. It was time for me to get to my first job. So my first job here was I was both dual position, head golf professional and a men's golf coach, which was great because the 6 years, it was just time to move on from Oakland Hills. And at this point, Tom was both the director of golf and the men's golf coach here at Eastern. And the job was getting big, needed to add another person. So he was able to give up, he needed help both at the golf course, and they needed a PGA, Class A PGA professional here at Eagle Crest. And at that time here on golf club, and then also men's golf coach. So it worked out great. It was a great transition. And I was 30 years old at that point. It came at a great time in my life, great opportunity, and try to make Roy and Tom proud every day that they made the right choice.
I think it's worked out all right. I mean, you've won MAC championships. On the other side, you look at it, Eagle Crest has gone from just a course that people played to now you see them being ranked 9th best collegiate course in the country. And to think that you've had a big part of how it's grown and developed over those years.
Absolutely. It's to be in the top 10 in the country. There's a lot of great university owned golf courses, but to have the Marriott, the whole complex, and it's great that our performance center is out there now. That area just keeps getting better and better. The resort is better. The golf course just keeps making adjustments. Wes Blevins, our general manager and director of golf there, is doing an incredible job. And it's great to see how it's grown, because the vision that Roy had, probably 35 years ago, it's great to see it evolving and changing. COVID obviously has brought out a heck of a lot more golfers, and they know quality and value. And it's great to see it so busy. And it's great for our golfers, both on the women's team and the men's team, to have a home.
How has the athlete changed over the last 30 years? Because in all sports, kids are more specialized now, or maybe they got a swing coach or a nutritionist. The athlete today that you have, how different is it from when you started here?
They definitely come in more polished. There's just so much information. You become almost an interpreter of YouTube, of what they're able to see content 24 hours a day, and they might want to try something. It's mostly to keep them focused and keep them working on the correct fundamentals, at least for them. Like, that might have been great what you saw for someone else and it worked for them. I guess just to avoid the pixie dust being thrown on them that this little thing is going to help me. Just, I guess, making sure they're focusing on the correct fundamentals for their golf game, because the information that they have at their disposal is unbelievable. And they do have, they come in more polished. They, have gone through many more lessons, both through content and through, they're either their hometown golf professional or swing coach. So it's just helping them then make that transition, because the only thing in our sport is that there's really nothing that gets you ready for college golf. Even, the junior golf and all the tournaments, it gets you prepared to a certain level, but then it's super difficult. It's almost diabolical, and to a point that they can't understand. So to make that jump, to have their game elevate and to become elite, is a process. And they have to get through some serious progressions. It'd be like recruiting a basketball player on 8-foot rims and, hey, in college, we're going to play at 10. Just because our distances are so long. I mean, you know, they play junior golf at 64 to 6,800 maybe. And we play from 7,000 to 7,400. And it's that jump and being able to hit your, I guess, 6-iron through your hybrid almost as accurate as you hit your pitching, you know, your gap wedge through your 8-iron. I mean, that ball control and distance control, flight control are all things that, you know, college golfers just have to get through the progressions as quick as possible.
Speaking of getting through the progressions, one of the things that we've seen over the years, Kent had the corner on people going to the professional ranks. Now you're seeing more of your former student athletes start to get in there. We saw what Brett White was able to do getting on the PGA Tour. He's been playing on the Korn Ferry Tour. You see Cougar Collins trying to make a splash. You see Stewart over in Ireland, all those guys now. What does it mean for you professionally to see them start to have this success now?
Yeah, and they had, you know, Cam Burke and Corey Mahoney before them with what they were able to do, you know, playing in, you know, 4 or 5 PGA Tour tournaments. And really, Cam was in that first group, 2008, 2009. He was the first group where he actually made it through the PGA Tour qualifying, but it was the first year where you go to Korn Ferry instead of the PGA Tour. Corey obviously had an incredible career, and they got to kind of be around them. But that's, you know, you're kind of standing on their shoulders, and that kind of helped. I mean, the guys that came in behind them, whether it was Michael Blair, Stuart Graham, Brett White, all those guys. But, you know, you need to have status, and, you know, whether it's on the Latin American tour or, you know, with Stuart, where he's over on the Champions Tour. You know, Ty Salone, Cougar Collins, Zach Sadinsky, they're all, you have to do these, you have to just stay active, but to get status and to get the ultimate, to get to the Korn Ferry or the PGA Tour, you know, and the Canadian Tour and the Latin American Tour are vehicles and vessels to get there, but you really have to play consistently elite and be in the top five to then get the golden ticket to go on. But they're all doing quite well. You know, Brett had that monster PGA Tour event in Mississippi that it makes him healthy. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to be able to stick around for a lot longer. And he's getting, you know, and then, you know, through his story, he was able to get some help financially. And that's what you need. You need time, right? Yeah. And both, I know Cougar, Ty, Michael Blair, and Brett White for now, and Stewart, of course, they've got the resources and the funding, and they're about at that age where it's time to connect, you know.
You know, Greg, I think, has given up hopes on the PGA, but we're getting him ready for the senior circuit now. But if you were to give advice to someone like Greg or those people trying to improve their game, what's the best piece of advice that might take a couple strokes off somebody's game?
Well, it's definitely work on the short game. I mean, for any amateurs, I mean, just to be able to pitch it and chip it and maybe 2-putt instead of 3-putt. I mean, that's the easiest way to
reduce. I do a lot reduce, of 3-putting.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to reduce scores. And then, you know, obviously there's some course management, getting some of those egos in check, not hitting your driver all the time. Some course management. Heck, we try to do that with our college golfers, let alone amateur golfers. But
what's your handicap, Bruce?
I think on my index around a 3.1 at the moment. Used to be a scratch, but it's moving in the wrong direction at the moment.
I hate myself for not playing college golf because I look at your schedule. You're going to play at Pinehurst, right?
Yes.
That's coming up on the schedule. And I'm like, why did I play college football? You guys are in warm locations. You're playing courses like Pinehurst. It's a dream come true.
Yeah, we get to play at some incredible facilities. Yeah, Mid Pines down in Pinehurst, and I think we're on the trail down at South Alabama's tournament. We're very fortunate in Division I golf that, you know, they do get to play at some incredible venues. But we need to have the venues that give us the needed yardage, and so a lot of times those are some of the better places you can play. Now, we do have to play, our tournaments are on Mondays and Tuesdays a lot to do that, maybe not on the weekends, except for the university-owned ones like Iowa or Penn State, Ohio State, once to get ready for the MAC championship. But yeah, we're fortunate to play some really, really nice venues.
You opened the season last week in Florida, able to get match play. When you look at match play versus stroke play, how do you think that translates to the rest of your season coming up, since you don't really play it again until you would get to the NCAA championships?
Yeah, I think, you know, for Northern schools, you know, Big Ten has match play. The Big East has a match play. We kind of rebranded ours through the, you know, the MAC A-10 match play. It's a good way to get started. You know, all six guys played extremely well. I think I counted up, we had about, you know, 12 of the 18 rounds were, now you don't get to play all 18 holes sometimes, but they were, we played really well. You have to, you're, you know, you can leave a hole go. I mean, so you lose a hole, maybe you win the hole, but the next, it's like next hole, best hole concept. But to see them, I guess, execute on some of the things that we're trying to do, obviously in match play, if you make a bogey and the other guy pars, it's a loss of hole. And what we're trying to do this year, you know, you can't, you can try it. The concept is to not eliminate bogeys, but to limit bogeys. No. And I think we've got to do a much better job of that in our stroke play. Look, we play a good percentage of holes really, really well, but then you just can't make those unforced errors. You have to reduce that. It's easier said than done. Yeah. And again, it's back to progressions. It's, you know, ball control, course management, all types of things that go in it. Just executing what you think is somewhat of an easy pitch or chip, but you do have to get it to within 2-3 feet and then get it in the hole, as opposed to maybe getting it to 6, 7, or 8 feet. Somebody said, oh, that's a good shot. Yeah, it was okay. But to really be elite, to get to that 2-3 feet level where it's just almost automatic, those are the little things that we just have to get better at this spring. And it's a great way to get started. And then you hope that it does, you know, you can cash it in and get it done out of Palm Valley, which we have had a lot of success at Palm Valley in the past. So this is going to be no different.
Yeah,
this
some
year.
Of your all-time lowest rounds
yeah,
are there.
Yeah, absolutely. Both, so, I mean, both single round records, team records. You just have to attack because there's some reachable par five. So it may say par 72 on the scorecard, but it's depending on the wind direction, if there is any. Sometimes it's like playing in a bubble out there, but it's par 69, par 70, just because you have to treat those par fives as par fours.
Bruce, and maybe this has already happened because you've played a lot of golf, but if you could play golf with any golfer of any era at any time, who would you want to play around with?
No, I mean, it's a great question. Geez, any former PGA Tour player would be fine with me. I mean, just anybody that's ever been in the show, I mean, I would take anyone.
I don't know if you had a dream golfer, if it was Jack, if it was...
Yeah, I grew up in Ohio, so obviously, yeah, I would love, you know, Jack Nicklaus, you know, and then new age, you know, Tiger Woods, any of those. But really, anybody that has been on tour that you would get a chance to play with and maybe pick their brains a little bit.
What would you ask them? What would be that question you want to know about being on the tour?
Well, I think more, you know, I guess both preparation and then consistency, just how you were able to get into that moment every single round and, you know, deal with the pressure, deal with the scoring. You know, there are scoreboards out there, you know, but it's really more about course management, situational golf, like, and then just things that they picked up on that they had to do to make themselves consistent or to open up their minds for, you know, scoring and to compete. And just because when everybody's an alpha male and everybody is out for the same, it's like, what did you have to do to get to that level? And what, you know, what progressions did you feel you had to get through to get to that level where you felt content? You know, like, okay, this week is going to be my week. Like, you just have that feeling. And what did you have to do in preparation to get to that point to where you felt confident each time you stepped in? You know, it's one thing to play on Thursday and Friday, but it's another thing to play on the weekend.
And Bruce, we'll bring this all full circle as we wrap up this interview. You look at it a little over a month ago. You opened the new Game Above Golf Performance Facility. Granted, you can't see all what's transpired and what's going to happen in just the quick month of it. But how do you think it's already helped your golfers in just this short time period?
Oh, it's definitely a game changer. It's great to have a home, both for the women's team and the men's team. I mean, it's going to be an incredible legacy to leave any golfer who chooses to come to Eastern Michigan in the future and to have a home. Look, I think any group would have been great to start this, but we've got, you know, for us, we've got 10 guys and they are all equally passionate about the game of golf and about competing and about, they just love the game so much. And so they can be there, you know, as much as they want. I guess what I'm happy about is just the accountability through TrackMan. You know, some of the things that we have to get better at was reducing side spin or distance control on that. And then Envyscapes, Preston Moon did our green. And just the way that a ball can check and is somewhat lifelike. And like he had described to me, it's not about what, you know, anybody can, you know, the green looks the same. It's like what's underneath that when they do hit pitch shots and chip shots, that it's somewhat lifelike. I did see us execute a lot better at the match play and take advantage of opportunities. Our short game, to me, they looked a lot better. Just, you know, if you compare it from year to year. But look, we had only been in there for maybe three weeks before then. So it's really going to be nice to see how they build on this. And I think it just each day, each week is going to get better as they build on their fundamentals and build on their confidence and what exactly needs to be done and where their game has to be to compete at the highest level.
Plus, I'm sure his wife's a little happier. His trunk of his car resembled a small Dunham's back there with everything he would keep in it because they had no home.
Now he's got a place for it. Yeah, which helps out a great deal.
Yeah, we were America's guest. Yeah, but we had some great support here. I, you know, within a 10-minute drive, usually of our campus, whether it was Washtenaw Country Club, Miles of Golf, Fox Hills, you know, Stonebridge, that, you know, everybody had a hand in our success leading up to this point. Not that we won't need them. It's just you don't need them as much. I mean, why, you know, the golf course is truly, it's nice to be able to get away from Eagle Crest. We love Eagle Crest. And I'm glad it's in the top 10. But you also need to be able to take your game on the road. Yeah. So it's great to have the support of all the golf courses here in our, you know, within a 10-minute drive, you know, Travis Point Country Club, any of the other country clubs, Barton Hills that have been really nice to us in the past and hopefully will continue in the future.
We appreciate your time, Bruce. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
There's only one podcast in Washtenaw County that takes you inside the athletic department every single week. The Eastern Insider Podcast. Your home for all things Eastern all the time. This has been another edition of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or your home smart device for all of our episodes on demand.